Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where every week I interview a different small business owner about how they're running their business, where I ask them the questions that matter, questions that when they answer, you can take those answers and you can apply them directly to your business and your context. And I think it's going to be really good for us all, because as small business owners, to just get this new information and to just apply it to our businesses and be more effective at getting what we're trying to get out to the world, out there. So that's the goal here. Today's guest was Matt Demerit. Matt is the owner of Digital Summit Pros. Basically what he does, he puts on digital summits, obviously. And if you're not sure what that is, which I wasn't, basically it's like an online conference type of situation. Somebody hires him. He puts on a conference for them where they're the main speaker. They're the person doing, the interviews and interviewing other guests and things like that, getting that content out there. Basically it's like a conference without having to pay for airfare and all that. He gets into what it is a much better, doing a much better job of explaining it than I am here, but it's just very valuable information. As you'll see, our conversation took a little bit different turn than what my normal concept is here, and I think you will benefit from this in some of the same ways and in some of different ways. So just hope you enjoy this. Let me know what you think about it. Before we jump in, two things really quickly. My business is, I'm an online fitness coach. So if you are struggling with knowledge of what to do, consistency in doing it, or you just aren't sure what your next step should be, what you've been doing isn't working, shoot me a text, 251-635-8055, or just check out my website, woodrufffitness.com. Click on the Get Started Now button. Either one of those, we can start a conversation and I can just find the best way to help you. I'm not a salesy type of person, just want to find the best way to help, whether that means you wind up hiring me to coach you or not. The other thing is, I have a used furniture company here in Kansas City. It's just Kansas City Used Furniture on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow along with what I'm doing with that business. So enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Small Business Podcast. I have Matt Demerit on today from Digital Summit Pros. Matt, why don't you just kind of introduce yourself? Tell us a little about what you do, man.
Yeah, well, the company's called Digital Summit Pros, and the whole idea behind it in the beginning, which it's changed a bit since then, was to purely create online conferences, aka digital summits, mm-hmm. for a range of clients. It works best with a startup group, so I'm sure we'll get to the ideal client range later on. But I live in Colorado Springs. I love biking. Yeah, I recently got married, so that's been a big part of my life lately.
Yeah, it's a big change.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole other episode on business meets marriage sort of a thing.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, cool, man. So, how long have you been? How long have you had this business up and running?
Well, it's been about 7 or 8 months. It's hard to give it a hard start date.
Yeah, kind of just started and mm-hmm. wound up from there. Okay, cool. And it's, so I know you're in Colorado, but this is you'll work with people, companies, just anywhere pretty much, or just in the US, or?
That's true. All of my clients so far have been in either Colorado Springs or Denver.
Okay.
Okay. I've talked to some who were farther away, but nothing's really landed.
Okay. Okay, cool. And, right now you're doing this, this is your full-time gig currently?
This is right now. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's dig a little bit into the practical piece of it. So, I try to kind of figure out, what your target audience is, the people, or the companies that you target. So what would you say is kind of your ideal client?
Yeah. So far, the natural meeting point for me to a client has been somebody who is a rather smaller business. Mm-hmm. They're trying to either enter the digital sphere for the first time with a digital product of some sort, mm-hmm. or they really need to, they want to launch something else. So they need an audience base to launch it to. So we're kind of talking about startups here. Mm-hmm. Also a lot of nonprofit. That's my circles before. Yeah. So those are some of the people I was able to reach out to in the beginning.
It's your natural network.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, everybody has that, right? And it can limit you, or it can really guide you in a really great way.
Right.
But it's definitely been a good match for a smaller sort of startup business, because the product of a digital summit itself is it's a growth product. It's not necessarily a revenue producing one, although it is. But the big conceit of it is that you end up with leads and really valuable connections afterward, which is one of the things I really liked about it going into it.
Yeah. So before we move on to some of the more like nuts and bolts, like the marketing and the content and things like that, I just want to make sure that both I and anybody listening has a pretty solid understanding. I think I've got it pretty well from talking with you in the past, but just kind of give like the synopsis of what is a digital summit, like for anybody unfamiliar with that.
Like, oh man, I love talking about this. I think so. A digital summit is like a conference you would go to. Let's say you're an educator and you need to get continuing education credits, or you're a finance guy and you want to go to like FinCon or something to see what the new tech is. But instead of going to that conference, buying a plane ticket, paying for a hotel, getting a rental car, buying expensive meals in the hotel lobby, or the food trucks they bring in for it, you can do it all from home. So most digital summits have anywhere from, I've seen them as small as 8 or 12 speakers up to 50. Yeah. So it's, you got your keynote, you got all your workshops, the same sort of setup, but they're all pre-recorded. They're mostly interview style, like you and I are talking right now. It's generally video driven. So anybody who watches it can actually watch the actual host or hosts talk to the guests themselves. And you have all of that content built up on an online platform. Generally, people, the audience members, get in for free. All it requires is a name and an email to register for the summit. Mm-hmm. And then after that point, you have, you know, probably like a few days to a couple weeks to digest that content. It may be released on a rolling schedule where each video is only up for like 3 days, and then new videos are released each day, and they roll public and then they roll private.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, whoever's hosting it will generally give an offer and say, hey, do you want to buy this whole package for like, you know, $50, $90, $120? We're doing a short time frame discount to drive the sales, and then usually tacking on an offer or an order bump or like a second tier offer.
Yeah.
And for most people who host one of these, that offer is going to tie more directly into their company or their consulting services.
Okay.
So if it were a fitness summit for you, Brandon, at the end of it, you'd say, hey, like get a year's worth of coaching for, you know, an extremely discounted rate with your purchase of the summit.
Cool.
That's it. That's it, really.
So if I were to say, all right, Matt, I want to hire you to like help me put on a digital summit, you would like
find. I would say I'm busy. It's going to be really expensive.
Yeah, and I would say a cost is no problem. Not at all.
Wow, that went really well.
Yeah. Nice, easiest sell you ever had.
Yeah.
So if that were to happen, you would like get people to be like, I guess, speakers and things like that for the summit, or would I be the speaker? Like, how would that look?
Mm. So I would want you to be the speaker. Personally, I have a lot of experience interviewing and doing these on like being in the host's chair, which is where I first heard of digital summits.
Yeah.
So I love doing that, but it doesn't help you or your brand at all.
Right.
Aside from the income you can receive from a summit like this, there are a ton of very powerful subsidiary benefits. For instance, if you, Brandon, are trying to establish yourself and your brand as an authority in the fitness sphere, and you host the, you know, 5K fitness summit or something like that, then you're going to be the one going back and forth with everybody you interview, whether they are I don't know, a cardiologist you just happen to know, some paleo guru, or you have a connection with Arnold Schwarzenegger's son or something.
That'd be great.
To just kind of get some celebrity influence there. Uh-huh. So it can really build the brand. Ideally, I think one of the biggest benefits here is that you will get a ton of leads from this, because you're offering high value, high quantity content that conveniently you don't actually have to produce. you're bringing these other people in mostly for free. Really, most people do not pay their guests at all that speak. But so you're getting a ton of content for free. You're giving it to your audience for free. And then at the end of the day, you need, this is what happens in the background, you need the people who are speaking on the other end of the camera to advertise to their audience for you.
Gotcha.
That's kind of the quid pro quo agreement that a lot of these operate on, is that, hey, I'll interview you on my summit. You'll get a ton of free publicity. And I just need you to send a few emails for me to your list. And then all those people come to your page, opt in for free, and they're now yours.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, that makes total sense. I just, normally I don't spend that much time digging into what the business actually is, but I think that like the first time I heard of a digital summit, which was when I connected with you guys and this group we're all in like a few months back, I was like, what is this? And so like, I think it's an awesome concept, but it's one I was not familiar with. So I have to only assume that there's some, at least one or two other people out there like me who wasn't sure what that was. So I wanted to get an explanation of what we were actually talking about here. So that so moving into the marketing piece, and I mean, this is probably kind of a, you know, kind of your nuts and like kind of your like just bread and butter here rather, because I mean, you're the, you know, that's the point of what you're doing, but like, not how do you market this like for your clients, but how do you actually market this to your target audience to like convince someone to become your, you know, your client so that you can run one of these digital summits for them? Like what is your marketing look like?
Yeah. I mean, as we are talking right now at the beginning of 2020, I'm super small time. I started off at doing this full time, but I would personally, the place I am in life right now, I'm trying to transition it much more to part-time, and to kind of like focus on another area of my life too, especially with career.
Yeah.
But so what I've done so far is, I mean, I had no idea. I actually had no idea what to do when I started, I think as a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I opened a Fiverr account and tried to pitch people on like $30, like $25 digital product strategy sessions. And I was actually able to do it with a couple people in person, not at all through Fiverr. So then I had a bit of a portfolio of like, hey, here's this page of, you know, like sketched out diagrams with this person's business. They have in-person coaching and they have a newsletter, but they have no digital products. So this is where I guided them to, you know, use a digital summit to create the digital product branch of their business. And they're going to do other things from there forward. But as far as marketing myself, that was, I thought I was so clever to do that on Fiverr. I thought it was like the most brilliant thing. I was like, oh, nobody's ever told me to do this. Like, I just came up with it. I'm so smart.
Yeah.
But it didn't really turn out any real clients.
Yeah.
It turned out a lot of spam bots and a couple people saying, hey, I have a yoga studio. Should I do a summit? I don't know. And I'm like, well, here's how it could work for you. Here's how it could not work for you. But yeah, a lot of it's been word of mouth. Aside from that, there happens to be a really cool community that I've found in Colorado Springs here with a lot of small business owners, a lot of startup kind of people, and a lot of people who value collaboration over competition, which has been wonderful for me because I feel like a child in in this arena sometimes of business owners and people who are like, you know, super fired up to go get it. Whereas I tend to be much more level and I'm like, is this really the best option? Let's look at this. So I've really appreciated all the insight and some of the real openness that I've seen, and having those conversations where it's like, hey, I have this idea. I'm not sure it'll work. What do you think? How have you done it in the past? You know, what have you learned along the way? Kind of just informational interview style conversations have turned into a lot of really good connections that have actually turned into a couple clients.
That's awesome, man. So it's been mostly, what's worked for you has been mostly organic, you would say. Pretty, you're leveraging your current network and just having conversations with people has been where most of your clients come from?
Definitely. I went through like 2 months where I would say yes to any meeting anybody ever asked me for.
That's awesome.
Which was weird because a lot of the voices in my life were saying like, hey, time is super valuable. Like only focus on the priorities. And I was like, I think my priority right now is just getting connected with people. I did that and that was great. And it was honestly super fun to sit down with people. And sometimes it was like, oh, okay, we're not a good fit.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Like, that's great.
Yeah. At least you know now.
we both know, and we'll both go our separate directions probably.
Yeah.
And I probably know somebody who's better for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, man, for those of us who have online businesses, I think it's very, very easy to allow yourself to stay at home or in your cafe or wherever you choose to work, like, and just kind of be a recluse and just kind of like try to make connections online. And man, I am all for using technology, but I literally coach people into better health and fitness, without even meeting a lot of them in person. So, I mean, I'm a huge believer in the power of like the internet and using it well, but I also think that meeting up with people and actually talking to people in valuable ways, even if it's not in person, but especially if it's in person, is very like, it's something that can't be replicated. You know what I mean? And so that's
cool
that you took that time to, you know, it'd be different to me if you were like, all right, I'll just take any meeting with anybody forever. But the fact that you were like, I'm going to take this amount of time and just say yes to any meeting, like I think that's a pretty cool strategy.
Yeah,
man, before we move on, so like, I just want to, you brought it up, so I just want to kind of dive into it just really quickly. So you're looking to kind of transition out of doing this, running your company full time, kind of move it into the background as a part-time thing so you can pursue some different career goals. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't want to be too long-winded here, but there's a touch of history there that might be a helpful lesson for somebody who is starting out on their own right now or is in the thick of it. And they're like, this is not working. I don't know what to do. Mm. But 8 months ago, you know, the idea popped up. I was leaving the job that I had then. I was getting married at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was a really, really chaotic, like everything's up in the air. Oh my word. What are we doing? What am I doing? Time. And Digital Summit Pros started quote unquote by accident, which I'm sure everybody loves to say. But really it was literally two companies in Denver that I was talking to about a job. And they said, hey, we don't want to hire you as an employee. You would be a contractor.
Gotcha.
And I'd never done that before. So I asked around a little bit and people basically told me like, oh, well, if you're a contractor and you have two clients, then you just basically started an agency. Those are your first two clients. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do for that. So I did a bunch of Googling and this is what it turned into. I ended up getting a couple more clients after that. But basically what I realized was that with call it personality style, call it Enneagram type, call it extrovert, introvert, schema, whatever. But what I realized was like working alone at my house was really where I went to die. And it was not a good fit for me. And I think I had this idealized vision of like the independent businessman who can just like, you know, land a client, put their head down, pound out like a week's worth of work in one day and automate everything, create the sequences, create the campaigns, and build the pages and just, you know, put on the headphones and go and do it. But what I discovered is that I have a huge, huge ability for distraction. And that working at home alone was just kind of soul sucking for me. So if I continue this in the future, which I'm sure I will always in one aspect or another, Digital Summit Pros will stay alive. When I take it to part-time, but there are definitely some things I will change. Another kind of road bump that I hit was that I had the idea, I wanted to be super niche. I only wanted to work on digital summits. But I also needed money. So, which is, I think this is the bridge everybody crosses at one point or another. And it's the question to like stay in your lane or take money and do something more broad. And I've heard guys who are much more advanced in the consulting kind of world, or like website builders, coder guys, talk about this. And it seems like when you go outside your lane, things can get a little rougher.
Yeah.
Or you can find like, oh my gosh, I should have been doing this thing all along. So it's kind of a gamble. Nobody knows the future, but I started to take on a lot more general work, which was fine because it was easy. I knew how to do all of it. But it was basically the things I've been doing at my day job for almost like less money, because I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. That price sounds great. Can we bump it up a little bit?
Yeah.
And, so basically what I found was with cutting out taxes and everything for the end of the year, I was kind of doing some of the same like humdrum work that I didn't want to be doing before, for a little bit less money.
Yeah.
In an impersonal setting.
Yeah.
And that was very like disappointing to me and draining. So what I've done since then is just be really clear with clients up front. And just say things like, hey, here's like the monthly structure of what it would look like for cost. Here's what I could do for you. So like, setting expectations has become the biggest thing for me when talking to a client. Like there's the envisioning part, you know, where everybody's getting really excited about all the things we could do together. And then you finally kind of start to lose that momentum as you go downhill and you hit the valley and things even out and you're like, okay, like rubber meets the road. What will we do in the next 3 months? Here is what we can do. We're going to launch this one thing. And these are the goals for it. And here's the cost for it. And that's really all I want to do for you.
Yeah.
If we go beyond that, I think I would just charge you a lot more, to make it worth my while, even though, because I don't really want to be doing that.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an arrogance almost in that. But it's almost more like a self-protection at this point.
Yeah.
To say like, hey, you know, for my like mental and emotional health, the way things are going, I really just want to do one thing for you. And I don't tell a client that for sure, but there's like the dark side, I guess, for you of my experience with small business lately.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you sharing that. And like, normally, I mean, this is episode 4 of this, and typically like before and after, I follow a really loose script. I want it to be really organic conversation. But I have questions I try to hit. But I mean, I think that since you're in this situation where you are realizing these things about like yourself and about these kind of things, I think I'd like to scrap some of the other stuff that I would normally ask, since this is kind of like something you're dialing back on, and just talk about this for a little bit, because I think it's something
really important.
Man, I think it's really important for a lot of for anybody who's a small business owner. I will tell you, for me, I don't know, like you said, like extrovert, introvert, I don't really know what I am. Like I kind of seem to fluctuate. Like some days I completely thrive on like just talking to people all day, wanting to like just engage. And other days I just want to hide in my basement office here and just like my unfinished like basement gym / office and just like type away at the computer and get stuff done. And most of the days I can't do that. I still have things to do that involve other people. But I think what'd you say?
Once this podcast blows up, you'll have to do like an insider look. Like this is where it started. And these are the wires hanging from my basement all around me.
Yeah. I mean, literally, man, literally. But I think that it's just, you know, when you get into it, you do have to have like, and I'm learning this, I'm only 7 months into full-time self-employment. And I would say that it's very, there are days where I'm just absolutely loving it, where I'm just like, man, I will never in my life again work in like a corporate office again or anything like that. And then there are other days where I'm just like, this gets a little lonely, like, you know, but I mean, the fact that I think it's part of it's the nature of the business. Like I could imagine something like a digital summit, like you would do that summit with somebody and then like you're done unless they need something else, right? Like unless they want another summit. But I mean, for me, it's, I don't know if that's the case, but for me, it's like I have an ongoing relationship that I'm building with my coaching, my fitness coaching clients. you know, and we do phone calls every week or every other week, depending on what package they've chosen. We're texting in some form or fashion every day, you know, and it's not always just me being like, get that workout in, you know what I mean? A lot of times it's just life stuff. Like I like to like build relationships with people because I found that like when I know them better and they trust me more, I can coach them more effectively through their fitness goals. And so like, I enjoy that. And so that piece I think helps me a lot. But if I were doing what you're doing and like I had that initial conversation with somebody and then I had to just like go silent and get it done, like I think I would go a little nuts. Like I don't know that I would handle that well either. So it totally makes sense to me, man.
Yeah. And you said something in there about how like, oh, you know, if you do a summit for somebody, if you do a summit for somebody, you're done after that. And that was originally what I thought was like the brilliance of what I was doing, where I was like, oh my gosh, like I can get this big paycheck and then move on to the next one and move on to the next one and move on to the next one. And what I realized was like, oh, that's like, there's no growth there. That's not scalable at all.
Yeah.
So most recently, which I'm really excited about, what I've started to do is look for a partner basically, or like another media company or agency to like tuck in underneath.
Yeah.
because another thing I miss dearly is working with a team.
Yeah.
So I have the client, but generally that client is, you know, we're not on the same page as far as, growth, efficiency, strategy, that sort of thing.
Right.
We get there eventually, but it's like I'm bringing them along and they're bringing me along into their business. So it's like one person is always pulling the other one direction or another. Mm-hmm. But whereas on a team, you know, you're working together, you're giving each other playful pushback, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So over these 8 months or so, I have shifted a lot in perspective. Mm-hmm. On the business from what I was thinking originally with like single project, move on to like, okay, how can I create a retainer with this person? How can I actually give them like a viable chunk of value every month after we're done with the project?
Yeah.
You know, what are my other specialties? Okay. Email automation. Great. You know, email marketing. Great. Mm-hmm. Easy. Now they have an email list. They need somebody to manage it. Boom. I can do that. I think because, I've talked with you in the past and some other people in the Springs and kind of pitched like, oh, okay, what if I didn't just do summits? What if I did, you know, webinars? Because this guy over here that I know needs help with webinars. And there's always a push and pull to like be super niche or general.
Yeah.
And I've been back and forth on both of those lanes quite a bit.
Yeah. Still there, man?
Oh, did I lose you?
Yeah. Okay, we're back. What were you saying?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So, even now, like going forward, I've changed the focus a little bit. It's still Digital Summit Pros, but like we could help you with, you know, digital summits or this. Like, there's kind of three options we could help you with, and whichever one is the best fit for your business, let's go there.
Yeah.
But.
That's cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to address like the recurring revenue versus like the big chunks, or like lots of little chunks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And that totally makes sense, man. I think regardless of what, at least I think regardless of what kind of business you are, like that, I've discussed that with a couple of other people in the podcast already. It's like that struggle of like general or niche is a tough place to really like stay, you know. It's about back and forth. Even with fitness, it's like, all right, like I'll coach people, you know. Initially I was like, I want to coach people who have had like the fitness journey I've had, which is like going from like crazy skinny to like trying to get stronger and bulk up. Then I was like, well, no, actually more people want help with weight loss than that.
Especially right now.
And I mean a lot of I probably, the clients I've coached and I'm currently coaching, it's probably like 75% like wanting to lose some body fat, and 25% just wanting to get stronger. Like everybody wants to get stronger, but like, anyway, I think that you just have to, it's hard to find that. And, you know, I think different things work for different people. There's some people who pick one niche, stick with it forever and crush it. And there are other people who like, you know, they just go really general and don't niche down till later. And I think that that's either way is a valid strategy. I think you just got to find one and stick with it, you know, and that's the hardest part is the sticking with it and not being like, oh, I'm losing money by not doing this and like flopping back and forth. That's so difficult. Like it really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just kind of bringing it back here, I know we kind of went off track a little there, but I'm skipping some of the other questions just because of the nature of what's going on. But I want to just one thing I want to ask you here. I like to ask everybody kind of like as a professional, as somebody who does this, what's something that like, how do you go about kind of self-improvement, continuing to hone your craft, continuing to grow? Because I think it's really easy for somebody to come into something or start a business or whatever, even accidentally with like a certain skill set. And then just kind of ride the wave of that they have without really pouring into themselves anymore and learning their craft more. What are some ways that you kind of continue to improve at the things you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of it for me lately has been honestly just talking to people like in person, because so much of what I have been doing is, you know, emails, maybe phone calls with clients, and not having any sort of team around me. Yeah. I had this enormous need for just like human contact, during the workday. Mm-hmm. So I've set meetings with anybody who had, something interesting, honestly. And even to the point where I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can just like meet up with you and help you with this. Not to sound like braggadocious at all,
right? No.
But just like, oh, this person asked me to get together and I don't see any professional reason for me to do it. Mm-hmm. But man, it would be good to get together with them and talk about like the emotions behind everything we're doing. Like, oh, we're both newly married guys. Like, let's talk about that.
Right.
So as far as development, it's been a lot of like personal development. Not so much professional. That's definitely in there. That's always happening in those meetings, especially with people who are further along than I am. I mean, I joined a cohort of digital marketers, quote unquote. But it's also just a really great group, with really mature people in there who have a lot of life wisdom to offer, as well as professional advice. Like, I've been super encouraged and like smacked a little bit for going outside my lane too. So, that's been a really good experience. And that's like a once a month meeting, you know, usually via Zoom call, but a couple of the people are here in town. Right. So, I can just go over to their house for that.
Yeah. That's so awesome, man. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So, that's kind of, I want to kind of start to wrap up here just with some questions. So like, I think you'll have a pretty unique perspective on this, just being, that you've tried something, it worked, but it didn't work how you thought it would. So you're kind of transitioning. But I mean, like, I think, I think that it's very, you know, just from my seat looking at this, it just seems like, it seems like a good thing. You know what I mean? Because I mean, you learn things about yourself and you grew personally and professionally, you know, and you know, I think that self-awareness is a huge, huge deal in like any business, and anything that you do. Like, I know the things that I am really, really good at, and I know the things that I'm really, really bad at. And so my strategy has been to like, to play to my strengths while trying to slowly work on my weaknesses. You know what I mean? And I think that, I think that if I spend too much time just trying to be better at what I'm weak at, like, I'm losing a lot of progress by not like just emphasizing and going all in on what I am good at. And so like you know, you've learned, hey, like you're a people person, man. I mean, you want to interact, you like crave and hunger for that when you don't have that. And so, I mean, it seems like you're really like have been playing to that, you know what I mean? So that's really cool. And so what would you say, like, just coming from this, or just, you know, what would you say if like you meet up with one of these people, you know, that you hang out with, and one of them is like, hey, here's this one that I'm about to start. I'm about to start a small business, or maybe they just started a small business and they're in the very early stages. Like, what's something, like, if you could give them one piece of advice or guidance, like, what would you give them? Like, what would you say to them?
I would definitely say go for it. Number one, because it might be an absolute failure at the beginning, and that's okay. And honestly, it's like my history personally is in public speaking. And I've never done a comedy set on stage, but I've heard it said that like everybody should and everybody should bomb on stage, which I've definitely done on stage, not doing comedy, but Because then you know what it feels like. And the mystery is gone. And if you didn't like lose your entire life savings, then you're probably doing okay. And that's kind of what the scenario has been for me. I had the freedom to do this. And along the way, it's been so worthwhile because of all the personal growth that has happened. Mm-hmm. I might also recommend, like, hey, don't leave your day job and get married and start this business all in like the same week.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have somebody new who's going through all this change with you.
Yeah.
Who you don't know as well as you thought you did. And like life happens and, you know, they're a wonderful person. But like with the emotional struggles and ups and downs of this, that's a lot of responsibility to take on all at once. And if you really want to grow and you love the super intense, like crucible experience of learning, then that's a great scenario, honestly, to do it. And it has been a beautiful, wonderful thing for me and my wife to like get to know each other when I'm like, oh my gosh, struggling over here with like everyday life because I have, you know, no people energy coming in. And it was a long time before I realized that. So
cool.
It's been a really good experience, and I'll definitely tell somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But to do it not in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Like have a bit of a plan, have a team with you.
Yeah.
Have some people who are speaking in like as mentors or like coaches in one way or another.
Yeah.
And just be open to the learning because I've learned a lot of stuff about myself that I would not have otherwise.
Yeah.
Professionally and personally.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for that. So this is something I'm asking probably the first like 10 guests on the show, just because it's still a new podcast. And I'm always trying to make it better. Are there any questions? And I know our interview was a little different, but I know you've heard at least one of the other ones. So are there any questions that you think I should ask in future episodes that would bring kind of you, if you were a listener to this, value that I don't typically ask? Just so you know, I typically would have gone more into like marketing, content, sales, like retention of clients, things like that. But we kind of went a different direction, so I skipped that just for time's sake. And because, you know, I don't want to just like keep diving into stuff that you're like trying to transition out of. But so I just kind of want to like, is there anything else that you can think of that would be helpful to you as somebody, as a small business owner, to hear like another small business owner answer?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just because of the viewpoint I have right now, but I love hearing the honest personal sides of these business owners. I was actually pretty frustrated in the beginning and middle, sort of, not so much now because I've sort of found it.
Yeah.
But at the beginning and the middle, it seemed so hard to just get like a real answer from somebody who was whether they were in marketing or consulting or something. Like I would ask them like, hey, I don't want to be, you know, too invasive here, but how much are you charging for your services? Like what's realistic for me as a beginner, but also somebody who knows this product really well.
Yeah.
And gosh, it was hard to get an answer from somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because everybody is kind of only working in their own block and like they need to protect that, which I totally get. Like you don't want to give away your secrets.
Yeah.
But it was really discouraging, honestly, to just be like, oh, all these people I thought I really was close with and had some, you know, equity with, they won't even give me a straight answer. So what's going on? Yeah. Like I'm floundering here.
Yeah.
So I love the simple, clear, personal questions. And we really got into that, which was nice. Yeah.
Cool.
So hopefully that'll help out some people.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And I agree with you. It's very, oh man, I hate that also. It's very, like I could speak to my own, you know, my own profession here, even with like fitness coaches, especially online fitness coaches, you know, there's a lot of like, oh, don't tell, you know, I'm part of a group of online fitness coaches and we'll share information with each other and like share what's working and what's not and like things like that. And one thing that you hear a lot in this group is people will be like, oh, don't share your prices with the client until you like have gotten on the phone with them and like, you know, talked through the whole thing and showed how your service can benefit them and then quote it. And I'm over here like, look, man, if I go to somebody's website and there's no prices, I'm moving on to the next person. Like, I don't want to have to dig that information out of them. You know what I mean? And it's even worse when you're trying to get into it you know, to do that yourself, and you learn, you know, you learn suddenly that everybody suddenly wants to keep things behind locked doors, and it's just weird, man. Like, I'm not a fan of, like, I get it, like, you don't want to share your trade secrets with everybody because people can just, like, replicate it and take that and do exactly what you're doing. Like, I do like a used furniture business as well, and I mean, I will share, and I have shared, like, how to run it. It's not that complicated, so I'm not trying to sound smarter than I am, but, like, I have shared with friends of mine who want to get into something like that, like, in other towns, how to do it, but I will not share it with people in Kansas City because I don't want them to, like, take all my furniture, you know what I mean?
So I get Makes sense.
I get to a degree, there's got to be, like, some protection there of your own business, but, like, the more general stuff, how to go about pricing, you know, I mean, come on, man, like, let's not pretend we're more important than we are, you know? But, cool. Yeah, yeah, man, I think this has been good. I mean, it's been, like when you told me this before, you know, kind of where you were going, I knew this would be a different kind of interview, and I think that's good, you know, like, most of the interviews will be pretty similar with people just offering different, you know, their take on, like, how to answer the different questions. And I think that's where a lot of the value is, but a little off script episode here and there like this, I think can be really helpful for the reasons you said. It's very, it gets very real, and it gets very, like, here are some reasons that this might not work the way you think, you know what I mean? So, I think it's good for people to have their eyes open to that. But is there anything, where can people find you, if they want to, look you up, or, if they want to be one of your very few Digital Summit clients that you plan to take on?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like it's pretty safe. I'll just give you my email address. Okay. And then you can find Digital Summit Pros on Facebook, of course. Mm-hmm. But also my email address, if you want to, if you want to just reach out and, like, talk about this experience a little bit. Brandon is awesome, and he's going to have more perspectives than I will because of this podcast, if nothing else, along with his own journey. But my email address is Matthew, MATTHEW.demerit, DEMERITT @gmail.com. Pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah. Simple, man. Glad you're able to secure that without having to throw some numbers in there.
Yeah, right.
Cool. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time, man. I think it's been really valuable, and I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brandon. Good luck with this. Big fan.
Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in, and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.